I appreciate Brother Vanderpool. Words, honestly, would fail me to convey to you how much I really love and respect Brother Vanderpool. I saw him yesterday and for a little while and knew that he would be here, Lord willing, to bring the lesson tonight and thought a lot about how that I started preaching in the spring of 1981 and started coming to the Old Union Minister School, and Brother Vanderpool has been one of my teachers through the years, and there's been many lessons that he's taught and many things that he said that have been a great help to me, and I'm thankful when we called and asked him to bring a lesson during this winter Bible study this year. I'm thankful that he agreed to do that, and so I want you to pray for him as he comes to stand before us tonight. Pray that God will anoint him with his Holy Spirit, liberate him, and you give attention to the word of the Lord. I'm sure he'll have some good instruction for us tonight. So pray for Brother Vanderpool.
I'd like to say hello to everyone. I'm feeling some better than I did about an hour ago. Brother Tim and I got tied up, I don't know how many thousand lights, tail lights, headlights before us, beside of us, behind us. I'd feel my pulse and see if it was increasing. But anyway, we're here. I'm thankful that we made the trip all right, and we decided Brother Doug can go ahead and take care of everything. And just a few words before we start the clock. I'd like to say to Fairview Memorial Church and to the committee, Brother Miller, I appreciate the invitation to come and be here in this winter Bible study at Fairview Memorial. I appreciate that very much. Over 61 years ago, when I stood to preach my first sermon, I asked the congregation to be prayerful while I try to speak. Those 60 some years have passed, but tonight I want to make the same request of you. I need your prayers tonight. I'm much older, feebler. My system's not as strong. My memory, these things sometimes may be a little bit hard to understand, and I beg your pardon for that, but if you read the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, you'll understand all about it. So again, I thank you for this opportunity. Be prayerful, and may God bless you tonight. It's my prayer. Upon receiving the subject that I was to teach on some time ago, a personal relationship with Christ, I looked at the 16 subjects that were to be taught during November and January. And my subject was the only one out of the 16 that had the word personal in it. I realized that somewhat in my scriptures and my going into this would narrow to some extent the subject. And while studying the subject, I realized what a great thing I would be talking about during this time. And so tonight, as I come to speak on this subject, a personal relationship with Christ, I believe it would be proper for me, even though some of you have heard it once, some twice, some many times, my experience. But I think anybody that's going to speak on a personal relationship with Christ must first, to be qualified to do it, to have had that experience. Now try to be as brief as possible. When I was almost a 12-year-old boy, attending a revival meeting at Caney Fork Missionary Baptist Church, Smith County, Tennessee, the first week in September 1935. On Thursday morning, when Brother Paul Wilburn finished preaching, gave an altar call, I was over sitting in the Amen corner. And I felt something in my soul that I'd never felt in my life. But my dad told me a few years before that, when I was inquisitive about when I should go to the altar, I saw other boys and girls going to the altar to seek the Lord. And I said, "Daddy, when should I go?" He said, "Son, you'll know." I thought Daddy ought to know everything, and he could tell me that, but he couldn't. He said, "Son, you'll know. You'll feel it. You'll know when you're lost." And he said, "When you get saved, you'll know it. Nobody will have to tell you." Brother Paul Wilburn finished his message that morning around 12 o'clock. I was sitting over there in that corner, and I just come around right to the altar, just like that. I didn't get saved, but I went home that afternoon, spent the afternoon in an apple orchard. Fearful, I thought, as he had told me, I was living one breath from a burning hell, and that I'd have to get saved and know I was saved before I could go to heaven. I spent a terrible afternoon, went back to church that night, and when the altar call was given, I just whipped around the corner of the pew and right down in the floor. I prayed. I sought the Lord for a long time. Service is dismissed. Most everybody went home. They had the old oil lamps all around on the wall. And while I was praying in my heart, I said to the Lord, "They can blow these old lamps, every one of them out, and it can be dark in here, but I'm in more darkness than that. And if you don't save me tonight, Mom and Daddy, the preacher, and everybody here can go home. But when the sun comes up over here over Mr. Charlie Perkins Hill in the morning, if you don't save me tonight, just right here is where I'll be when the sun comes up in the morning." Brothers and sisters, it wasn't long until what I'm going to talk about happened. Nobody told me. Nobody asked me if I had accepted Christ, but I knew that I had, in repentance and faith, had met God's conditions and He had accepted me. Amen. My subject, a personal relationship with Christ. My lesson is found in the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew, verses 46 to 50. Now I'm talking about Jesus as he was in a certain place, teaching on different things to those that were with him. This is beginning with Matthew 12, 46. While he, that is Jesus, yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he, that is Jesus, answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hands toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is, not going to be, but present tense, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Here we are not talking about a fellowship, but we are talking about a relationship. There's a difference in relationship and fellowship. I'll try to get to that a little bit later. I want to notice the definition of the words in my subject. The word personal, private, individual, done in person or by oneself, directly referring to an individual. Now, when one is saved, that person has a knowledge of it. I believe tonight there are saved people, have been throughout the world. But of all the millions that may have ever been saved in the world, I only know about one. I know that. Relationship, connection by origin or kinship, the state of being related. Christ, Greek anointed, the anointed one, a title corresponding to the Hebrew name Messiah, the second person of the Godhead. I want to notice now in this 50th verse, Jesus says, for whosoever, this is man, woman, boy, girl, regardless of race, creed, or color, whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, sister, mother. Now then, if we can find out from the scriptures what the will of God is, we can find out what is necessary to become a related person to Christ, to have a personal relationship with him. In 2 Peter, the third chapter, 2 Peter 3 and 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the Bible teaches us that repentance is unto life. And when the Apostle Paul lets us know that when we believe in the existence of the Lord, we must do that first before we can call upon Him. And then in our repentance, when we repent of our sins and our condition, God grants the faith to exercise in His Son for salvation. Just a moment. I clipped this article out of the Nashville Tennessean last week, and it came from USA Today. Most American religious believers, including most Christians, say eternal life is not exclusively for those who, and they use the word, accept Christ as their Savior. A new survey has found 80% of people with this open view of heaven's gates listed at least one non-Christian group. You see, leaving out non-Christian, they leave Christ out. Jews, Muslims, Hindus, atheists, who may also be saved. So there are those today that believe there are different ways of being saved and getting to heaven. Jesus said in John 14 and 6, I am the way. The definite article, the. I am the way, not a way, one of the ways. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man. And the word man there is the word that is in the Greek, means any living person, anthropos, and it means man, woman, boy, or girl. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man or no person can come unto the Father but by me. And I don't care what some of these religionists say, and some of these we heard some of the high-ups on television last night, and they're making fun of people that believes in a hereafter, and that when a person dies, their spirit goes out and winds up in somebody else, and all of this, and the devil enjoys that kind of doctrine, but I don't. Now then, let's get back here to the lesson. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as any man counts slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now then, we must know if Jesus is the way and the truth, then how are we going for the person to find the Lord and make peace with Him? As I said, I want you to remember now, my subject is on relationship. It's not on fellowship. There's a difference. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I got saved when I was young? Tell where they got saved. I went to church, I sung in the choir, I taught Sunday school, or I prayed in public, and then I got with the wrong crowd, and I got out in the world, got back in the world, and got away from the Lord. And then after so many years, I came back to the Lord. Well, now, they didn't have that exactly right. He got away from the Lord in fellowship, not relationship. There's a lot of people that has a relationship with Christ, but they may not be in good fellowship with the Lord. Now then, I want us to look, and this has nothing to do with the the Roman road, which so many modernists use in the 10th chapter of Romans. We find there a plan that God has that a person that believes in the Lord to the salvation of their souls and receiving a personal relationship with the Lord, they do that at the end of repentance. They do that by faith. And they repent of their sins because they feel convicted and realize that hell is going to be their eternal home instead of heaven. And because of that conviction, it brings repentance, and repentance faith that brings us salvation. But we back up just a little bit. What does it take to bring about the conviction? The Lord has ordained that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So we notice the order of God's plan for lost humanity to bring about this personal relationship. God calls men to preach the gospel. And when the gospel is preached, as I've already said, it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is preached, and when the gospel is preached, and it reaches the hearts of lost souls, and that soul is able to see themselves as they are, lost, separated from God, in sin, that brings about their repentance, and repentance is unto life, and life, of course, salvation, and this relationship. So just briefly again, God calls the preacher preaches the gospel, convicts the sinner, conviction brings repentance, repentance faith, faith brings salvation, and that personal relationship with the Lord. Now then, speaking of in studying this, I want us to notice something just a moment. In the book of Revelation, I'm going to Revelation 2:17. Back in ancient times, and maybe also in present days, there were organizations that, when they decided to receive someone into their organization, it was decided not by a voting machine or by a paper ballot, but there was a ballot box, and the members would pass around, and the black ball would be rejection if that person knew something that this person wasn't qualified who was applying. The black ball rejected. But those that dropped in the white stone was a stone of acceptance. Now, in each of the seven churches that God or Christ spoke to in these letters, seven churches of Asia, in every one of these, he said, to him that overcometh. In every one of them, there's a different thing promised. And if you want to see something really great, you add up all seven of those and you'll see how wonderful it is to have overcome sin through Christ and become a brother to him. In the church at Pergamos, in the 17th verse, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and we give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it. A sign of acceptance of God of that individual, and that's when a person hears the gospel, is convicted, and he repents of his sins to the Lord and puts his faith in Christ with all of his heart, God accepts him or her. Now then, so we must first believe that Christ is the Son of God to call upon him for our salvation. The two thieves on the cross, one of them said, if thou be the Christ, save yourself and us. The other did not say that. Lord, he already had that degree of faith that he was hanging by the Son of God there on that cross. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus didn't say, maybe tomorrow, if you live good enough, at the end of time, at the judgment. He said to him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And there that afternoon on the cross of Calvary, that thief, Brother Jerry, became my brother. He became right there a brother to Jesus. Christ said here, as he waved his hand out over the crowd of his disciples, he said, you see my brothers and sisters. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those that were saved back there, they're our brothers and sisters. Every person that's ever been saved in the world are brothers and sisters to the Lord, or the Lord's brother is a brother to us. Also, in Romans 8, 16, 17, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Well, what's the meaning of an heir? Anyone inheriting rank or property from a deceased person, sharing in an inheritance. And so, whatever it is that God will have for his son, we who have a personal relationship with Christ, being a brother to him, we will be adopted, as we have so many scriptures about adoption, and we will share in what Christ has. To me, the more I study about this, the greater it gets, the bigger it gets, the more important it is to think that we are counted in the heirship of Christ by adoption. I want to notice some other scriptures. I see now I'm not going to get through with all I had. I'm trying to keep an eye on the clock over here. I don't know if I'm watching it right or not. Hebrews 2:9-13. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he, I want you to listen to this, this is Jesus, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Christ is not ashamed to call us his brethren or his sisters. Are there any of us that, due to times and places, sometimes we have not spoke up and let people know that we were a brother to Christ and he was our Savior and our brother? This scripture says that Christ is not ashamed to call us his brethren. Now, Brother Doug's already taught on the church and the bride, and what I'm talking about is the individual. I believe that every person, regardless of race, creed, or color, throughout the world, that has been born again of the Spirit of God and has the Spirit of God in them, and has a no-soul salvation, is my brother in Christ and is a brother to Christ. You might say, well, I don't agree with all of them. Well, I know a family, somewhat close, a brother and two sisters. Their mother was seriously ill. And the two sisters couldn't get along with the brother, and the brother couldn't get along with the sisters. They wouldn't visit her on her deathbed at the same time. When they went to the funeral, they sat in different areas. Their fellowship was bad, real bad, but they were still brother and sisters. I'm still looking there at Brother Joey, 10 minutes? 12? No, I kept looking. I think I was reading the clock backwards. I guess that traffic did more trouble to me than I thought it did. Have any of you ever heard this song, His Blood Has Made Us One? Have you ever sung it in your church? The man that wrote this, I've been with him in services. I've heard him talk. I've heard him testify. I've seen him rejoice. But he's not a member of the Baptist church. But I'm expecting to see him in heaven. But if he came down to Victory and wanted to join, and Brother Binion found out where he was a member, he'd ask him to relate his experience and come by experience and baptism. But I want you to read, I want to read this. From many different backgrounds, with many varied interests, yet we were all so lost and undone. But Jesus' love and mercy has brought us together. His blood has made us one. We have no cause to be here together as a family. Remember here in this one of these verses, scriptures I read a few moments ago, I may have overlooked that, where the family of God No, Ephesians 3:15. 14, 15. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Part of God's family is in heaven tonight. Some of us are down here. So this says, we have no cause to be here together as a family. If there were not a common bond, a something that brings us together as a common bond. When Jesus' mother and his brothers thought to be those maybe born to Mary and Joseph after the birth of Jesus, or some have even speculated and thought there might have been sons that Joseph had by a previous marriage, but anyway, the Lord said to them that you that are disciples are my brothers, my sisters. And that's what we are tonight if we've been saved. Let me get back here. This, I had more, and I'm getting to bring out on some of this. I'm going to go back to the beginning and try to finish this up. From many different backgrounds with many varied interests, yet we were also lost and undone. But Jesus' love and mercy has brought us together. His blood has made us one. His blood had made us one, the blood of God's own Son. One in purpose, one in power, His blood has made us one. We have no cause to be here together as a family if there were not a common bond. But Jesus' blood has saved us. We are brothers and sisters. His blood has made us one. We may not all agree on the things that aren't important. We know that to be true. Things that don't amount to a whole lot. We may not all agree on the things that aren't important. For we are all made different, you see. But being of his body, and we're joined together in love and unity. So then it's through the blood of Christ that we are brought together as brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we have that personal relationship with Christ. And if a person does not have a no-so salvation, they don't have that relationship. I was telling Brother Binion coming up here, someone said in a radio program the other day something they'd heard somebody say, and it was either Brother Vanderpool or Dwight Moody. And I said, I turned to my wife and I said, Lord, I hope nobody's got me mixed up with Dwight L. Moody. But we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are of his family. Some are members of the church. Brother Doug took care of that. And yet there are some that are not. But I'm thankful tonight that the, I want to read some verses here on our being heirs to what God has. Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Galatians 3:29, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Titus 3:7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister, talking of angels, for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Hebrews 6:17, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. And when Romans 8:15, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. 2 Corinthians 6:18, and we'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be, talking about God, be a father unto you, Paul talking to the Corinthians, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saying the Lord Almighty. God is saying, you shall be my sons and my daughters, and we're in joint heirs with Christ in whatever Christ is going to inherit from God the Father. Every one of us that has a personal relationship with Christ, we're going, because of adoption, we're brought from that family of sin under the law. And when a family, husband, wife, have some of their own children, and they go and adopt other children, that gives them equal rights to what those parents have. And when we have a personal relationship with Christ, we are his brothers and his sisters, and we have a right to those things that Christ has. And I'm sorry I didn't get through all my notes and what I had to say, but anyway, I want to bring this out before I close. And because we are brothers and sisters, and we are sealed with that spirit of adoption, the devil could get Christ and take him down to eternal hell as easy as he get one of us. He cannot do that, and neither can he get us. I'm thankful tonight. I'd rather be a child of God and a joint heir with Christ than to own all the wealth. And that's an inheritance we have, and we will not need a bailout. Thank you again for being here. I'm sorry I was late. I was glad I got here before it was over. But anyway, Brother Binion is a good driver. Sure is. He knows how to handle traffic. Thank you again for having me here. And if I don't see you anymore, I'll be over on the other side waiting for you. May God bless you. I'll lay some more of these outlines up here if you want them.
Appreciate the good lesson. Appreciate Brother Vanderpool being here with us tonight. I thank the Lord for the blessing, for the privilege of being saved. I thank the Lord for the blessing and the privilege of being a member of his church. I don't think a person could say any better than that. I thank God for those things more than I do for anything in this world. We thank you all for coming tonight, and we want to invite you back to be with us next week, next Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock. Our scheduled teachers for next week are Brother Steve Skinner and Brother Ronnie Carter. So remember them in your prayers. These brethren that have taught for us tonight, Brother Vanderpool and Brother Skinner, you shake hands with them if you would before you leave tonight and let them know that you appreciate their lessons. We're going to dismiss here in a moment. If you have something that you would like to give in a way of a love offering for these brethren, if you would put it in the plates up here, and we'll see that they get it, and I'm sure that the Lord will bless you for it. So please be careful out there tonight as you drive, and God bless you and thank you for coming. Let's stand together and we'll be dismissed.
Brother Miller, could I make an announcement?
Yes, sir.
Brother Phil Mill will be preaching over New Bethel tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. If anybody's free and wants to come, you'll be most welcome.
All right. Thank you, Brother Moran. Let's remember that. Brother Mail is going to be here on Wednesday evening, the 28th of this month, so remember that as well. Any other announcements? God bless you. Brother Reynolds, would you please pray the benediction?
Amen.